good. It's okay if it's not going great. You can shout that out too. Terrible. We had our staff retreat, our annual staff retreat this weekend. We go out for a couple days up to Soldotna. And I just gotta say again, I am so just profoundly honored to be surrounded by the people that I have around me on our team. Their love for the Lord is so evident. Their growth in Him is so evident. And I just really look forward to what's ahead. I want you to know that we so value your prayers for us as we seek to apply wisdom and discernment, as we seek to exhibit the fruits of the Spirit in the way that we lead this church. And so thank you for your prayers for us. We stand on the foundation that many of you lay through your prayers, so thank you. We're jumping into a new series. Did anyone read my churchwide? How many of you share my frustration? Yes. Can I get an amen? That's right. I'm not going to get into it right now because I'll lose myself emotionally if I try to. So if you didn't read the churchwide, you can go back and read it. Today is sort of what we call our every 3 months we get a fifth Sunday, and on the fifth Sunday we have the K through fifth graders stay in the service just because we like a little challenge as a teacher. Because we want to celebrate communion together as families, and it's actually great for you younger people to be in service here and to put on a different set of sort of learning frameworks and to apply yourself to listen carefully and understand. Of course, you realize that the fifth Sunday was last Sunday, but we had our missions stuff planned, so we wanted to make sure the kids could be a part of that like we normally are, so we bumped it off to today. But this morning, we're jumping into a new series. We're going to spend the next 4 weeks in November in a new series, and we're going to be looking at what I would call the prophetic buildup in the Old Covenant regarding the coming Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. There's all of this information throughout the Old Covenant. People speaking on God's behalf to let us know what's going to happen. There's the blinker reference. To let us know what God's going to do. And I want to tell you right out the gate that I have three goals for you through this series. Are you ready for this? So if you jot down these goals, then you can ask yourself 4 weeks from now how you're moving in that direction. My first goal is to increase your confidence and awe in the redemptive plan of God throughout history. Your confidence and awe in the redemptive plan of God throughout history. God has been perfectly executing His plan since the beginning and will fully and finally realize that plan yet ahead. And we find ourselves somewhere in the time frame of that plan. What I want to do is increase your confidence that, maybe God is up to something. And not just your confidence, but what I have found as I look at the way that God has been saying, hey, this is what I'm going to do. If you're paying attention, this is what I'm going to do. It increases the awe that I feel in my heart towards Him. So that's number one. Number two, to increase your appreciation for the story surrounding the coming of the Son of God. to increase your appreciation for the story surrounding the coming of the Son of God. So after this series, we're going to jump into Advent, which is the Christmas story. And then from there, we're going to go through the Gospels, the story of Jesus. This series, over these 4 weeks, if you're tuned in, will help you better understand the story of Jesus. It will help you better understand the way that people responded to him. You'll be able to better engage that story. And then number three, I want to increase your expectations regarding Christ and his purpose. I want to increase your expectation regarding Christ and his purpose. God is on the move. God is on the move across the planet. He is right now, as we speak, accomplishing his good purposes on behalf of humankind. And he is accomplishing those purposes towards the establishment of his son and his son's kingdom, his son's good kingdom on the earth. And I hope to increase your expectations regarding Christ and what he is doing on the earth. John 5:39, this is going to be sort of our centralizing scripture. This is Jesus speaking to the religious leaders. He says, "You examine the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is those very scriptures that testify about me." You think that if you take that book and spend enough time memorizing all of the do's and don'ts, that that will be what leads you to life eternal. That's religion. And yet you missed that all of it wasn't pointing towards a specific set of moral outcomes per se, although that's part of it, but all of it was pointing towards a person. I am the way, the truth, and the life. All of it is leading to a person, Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God. Okay, that's just my setup. Deep breath. Here we go. I need to define a couple of things for you as we kind of get out the gate here, okay? The first thing I need to define for you is the way that prophecy works. Now, I'm not going to take this comprehensively, but there's something you need to understand if you're going to understand prophecy regarding Jesus, the Son of God. Can you pull up the next picture? There we go. Anyone recognize this? What is it? What's the mountain? How many of you here, if you're willing to be honest, did not know that there is a panda bear on that mountain? You all knew. Good job. You can't really see it very well in this picture. Can you switch to the next picture? Okay. So I want you to think distance laterally. Okay? Not elevation, but distance in this picture. So you're looking across a great distance. What's the greater distance between the first two arrows, the rocks there, the first ridge, or the second two arrows, the first ridge and the far peak? The greater distance is between the top two arrows. You don't believe me, do you? Go check it out on Google Maps. I'm the preacher here, so just nod your head and say, okay. The challenge with biblical prophecy is this, is that you have these prophets who are hearing from the Lord, and they're looking at a great distance towards some future set of events. And what is sometimes lost in the details is that there is distance between those events. You understand what I'm saying? So they look from way back in history at the future coming of the kingdom of God, and they see these different images of what that kingdom will look like, not realizing that that kingdom is actually going to come in successive stages until its final culmination. And so some saw an image of the final culmination and said, that's what the kingdom of God will look like. And some saw the very beginning stages, the seeds of the kingdom of God, and said, this is what it will look like. And everyone who was paying attention said, wait a minute, which is it? Is it this one or is it this one? And God said, yes. Any questions about that? No. Can you put up the next picture? Aww. I was cute once. I was recently sent this picture. This is Jenny and I before we were married. I believe I'm 18 in that picture. And some friends of ours who took this picture sent this to us recently. So this is like 26, 27 years ago. And I showed this picture to my kids. I was sitting at the kitchen nook, and there were a few kids gathered around. And one of my children, who was kind of behind my other children, said a word. One word after seeing this picture, not to me, not to anyone else, just said the word kind of out loud to himself. And I don't want to embarrass Bo, so I won't tell you which one of my kids it was. And I thought, did I just hear what I thought I heard? And so I made him repeat it. He said, Pete, P-E-A-K-E-D, peaked. Funny, right? No, not at all. And I said, what did you say? And of course, he actually wasn't meaning to tell the rest of the group. He literally just said it under his breath. And I responded with just one word answer, ouch. I mean, I think we have yet to peak, but whatever, you know, it's all subjective. The ministry of Jesus, the establishment of his purposes on the earth, has not yet peaked. It has not yet reached its culmination. It has not yet reached its full expression, the full expression in all of its power. We are headed in that direction. So as we look backwards, keep in mind that we still have not seen the full fulfillment of everything that they saw thousands of years ago. The next definition, the Messiah. So there's a term used throughout Scripture. Term is the Messiah. It's also the term that becomes the word the Christ. And it literally means the anointed one. And what we see throughout Old Testament prophecy over many, many generations, over actually thousands of years, is different prophecies coming through different prophets that slowly begin to build for us sort of an outline of who this person would be. That person being the Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ. Now, there have been many anointed ones up until that point. The kings of Israel were anointed to become king. The priests were anointed to become priests, and less prevalent, but still there in the Old Testament narrative, prophets anointed to speak on God's behalf to the people of God. And what we see is that through Old Testament prophecy is somehow the anointed king, the priest, the prophet, they all seem to be merging into a singular character who is yet to come. And one prophet says, he looks like a priest. And another prophet says, he looks like a king. And another prophet says, he looks like a prophet. And they all say, he's the anointed one, the Messiah, the Savior that will come. Now, lastly, we need to define the kingdom. So what I want to look at today is the prophecies regarding the coming king. There will be a coming king who will rule as a king rules. So defining kingdom, a kingdom is the reign and realm of a king's authority. The reign and realm of a king's authority. A kingdom is the area in which, and I would say in the most simple terms, is the area in which that king is in charge. That's what a kingdom is. Okay. Now, this is what's going to happen right now. I'm going to read you a bunch of prophetic scriptures, creating a timeline of prophecies regarding the coming king. Now, I'm just going to go through this. I might highlight a couple of things, but I want you to make your own notes as to any details that would be relevant if you're the one trying to figure out who this guy is. I'm going to read 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 passages. You ready? Here we go. Genesis 49. This is Jacob speaking. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to his 12 sons. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs will come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his. Someone, a descendant of Judah. The ruler's staff will not depart from him until the obedience of the nations shall be his. Now, fast forward hundreds of years, 2 Samuel 7:12. This is God speaking to King David. When your days are finished and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you, who will come from you, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Important detail, David is a great, 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 great grandson of Judah. Psalm 132, the Lord has sworn to David a truth from which he will not turn back. I will set up your throne, one from the fruit of your body. If your sons will keep my covenant and my testimony, which I will teach them, their sons will also sit upon your throne forever. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it as his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. Now fast forward another few hundred years. Isaiah 9. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this. Jeremiah 33, in those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch of David sprout, and he shall execute justice and righteousness on the earth. And in those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Isn't that crazy? Hundreds of years before even the apostles, even Paul, was wrestling to understand the gospel, Jeremiah says there's a coming king who will execute justice and righteousness, and yet this will be his name: the Lord is our righteousness. Ezekiel 37, and my servant David will be king over them, and they will have one shepherd, and they will walk in my ordinances and keep my statutes and follow them, and they will live on the land that I gave to my servant Jacob, in which your fathers lived, and they will live on it, they and their sons' sons forever, and my servant David will be their leader forever. This is actually where the prophets begin to sort of more fully describe not just the coming person, but the kingdom, the nature of the kingdom that he will preside over. It will be a kingdom of righteousness. Israel's inability to say yes to God, there's coming a time where they will say yes. Daniel, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, of the clouds of heaven, one like the Son of Man was coming, and he came up to the Ancient of Days as was presented before him, and to him was given dominion and honor and a kingdom, so that all the peoples, nations, and populations of all languages might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. To him it was given dominion, honor, and a kingdom. Sounds familiar. What did Jesus say? All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Micah 5:2, last one. But as for you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will come forth for me to be a ruler in Israel. His times of coming forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. There's going to be a king, a branch of David from Bethlehem, that will establish an eternal kingdom according to the plan of God from before time began. And this is the nature of the confusion at the arrival of the Messiah. Israel, if you're just looking at the storyline, as we come into the New Testament, Israel has been oppressed now for several hundred years, lots of turmoil, and most recently, they've now been made subservient to the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire occupies their land. They're in charge. The shackles of bondage have become unbearable. It's much like their forefathers in the land of Egypt, who cried out and said, "We can't take this anymore." The world is full of evil and oppression, political oppression and persecution. And these people, the Israelites, the descendants, are waiting for the promised king who would usher in a new era of peace, justice, and righteousness on the earth. They long for it. They look for it. And then, quietly, without anyone else even noticing, an angel appears to a young lady from Bethlehem, a descendant of Judah, a descendant of David, and says, you're going to give birth to a son. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. And to any extent that news of this got out, people were rightly optimistic to say, maybe now is the time, maybe this is the person. And yet, as we'll get into over the coming months, we find a Savior who just doesn't seem to be getting on board with the outcomes that we wanted. In fact, he says in John 18:36, oh, my kingdom is not of this world. Wait, what did we miss? Luke 7:21, he says, the kingdom is not here or there. The kingdom is already in your midst, meaning it's already here with you, within you. And even his closest friends, one of his best friends on the planet, Peter, cannot understand what he missed and why Jesus isn't setting up the political reign that they had so longed and hoped for and that the prophets had predicted. And yet they had missed. Remember the mountains? We saw some of these and we said, wow, that would be great. And we lost sight of these. Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion, shout in triumph, daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is righteous. He is endowed with salvation, and he is humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey. What we find, and again, we'll be unpacking this over the next couple of weeks, is that intermixed with all of these prophetic predictions of this eternal kingdom where righteousness and justice and the goodness of God would reign over the earth, that he would be exalted as king, were all of these other prophecies where the picture of him was one of a suffering servant. And all of those were there. And yet, we looked to this and we said, I like that, and I'm not sure I like this one. And Jesus says, no, I'm all of those. I am the king, the high priest, the prophet, but I will come to you gentle and humble, riding on a donkey, and that will be the manner in which my kingdom is born on the earth. In fact, he says, how can I describe this to you? Have you ever seen a mustard seed? It's the smallest of all the seeds. And yet when planted in the garden, becomes the largest plant in the garden and provides shade to all of the garden. That's what the kingdom of God is like. It comes in to our world with just a whisper, and will one day be established in power and glory. Here's where I want to land for today. The question before us now is not, as far as are concerned for this series, the question is not, will Jesus return as king on earth? He will be king. The question is not, will his kingdom be established in all of the earth? His kingdom will be fully and finally established. The question is, Will he be king over your life? And will his kingdom be established in your heart? What is a kingdom? It's the reign and realm of a king's authority. Is your heart in that territory? Have you turned in repentance and stepped foot inside the kingdom by saying yes to the king? Revelation 22. Look, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I'm the Alpha, beginning, and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Remember, we're somewhere in that time frame. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, the ones who practice the dark arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. And here it is. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life. Oh man, it's so good. Now I get it. The world is broken. And because you are created bearing the image of God, you long to see it restored. And yet the beginning point is when you hear that quiet invitation of the Spirit of God that says, come, come. And you decide to make Jesus king over your life and your heart. We're going to take communion together. I'll go ahead and have my team, anyone that's available, grab communion trays. Let's go ahead and pass that out. The rest of you can stay seated. If you're near a station and you want to lend a hand, go ahead and do that. maybe already you can get a sense of some of the confusion swirling in the minds of the disciples as they met with Jesus for the Last Supper, and he's talking about his death, his departure. What have I missed? He says, I'm gonna go. And this won't make sense to you now, but I'm actually gonna go and open the doorway for you to the kingdom of heaven. And I'm gonna do so by laying down my life. So they share a meal together, and it says that while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body broken for you. And then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And then he says it, here it is. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Take and drink. God, I'm so thankful for the sufficiency of your sacrifice on our behalf, for the life that we have through the blood, the fellowship that we have through your broken body. God, would you give us the grace right now in this moment to say yes to you, Jesus, our King. Would you stand? We're going to spend some time in worship together. There's a few different ways you can respond. We've already taken communion. You can give during this time. We'll have a couple of people over here. If you want prayer for any reason, you want to talk with someone, you want them to pray for you, take advantage of the opportunity. Otherwise, let's come before the Lord and celebrate him through worship.
Thanks, worship team. That was great. If the Lord is moving on your heart and you want to respond in prayer, the prayer team's going to hang out for a little bit. Feel free to make your way over there. And as always, you can also grab a friend. You can text a family member. Now's the moment. If the Lord's doing something in your heart, I want to encourage you to answer that. Tonight we have men's chapel. It's sixth grade and up for guys. It's at the Rock office, and we're going to meet at 6:30. We also will have some form of delicious food at that night together, so that'll be great. Fresh Start is cruising. We have Lydia Cook, who's a professional counselor with us. She's doing teaching the next couple weeks. I'm sharing my story this coming Tuesday, so that's Tuesday night, 6:30. There's information on the app. If you don't know where your next meal's coming from, come talk to one of the staff. We would love to help you and be a part of that, me, Matt, or anyone else on staff. And for the rest of you, we don't officially end at 12:30, so hang out, say hi, help pick up some chairs, some stuff in the hallway, and God bless you guys as you head into your week.